Well, how many of you attended at least one of our family services here on the Ridgeview campus yesterday? If you attended one of those services, raise your hand. All right, hands down. How many of you attended our classic Christmas Eve service last night on the Antioch campus? Raise your hand. All right, hands down. If you're here this morning, raise your hand. All right. How many of you attended a family service, the classic Christmas Eve service last night, and then you're here today? Raise your hand. All right, a few of these brave people, and I'm sure you're ready for a good Baptist nap this afternoon. And so maybe that would be the best Christmas present of all. But good to be here today. God was glorified yesterday. We had over 1,300 people in six different combined services yesterday on both campuses. And so we bless the Lord for the opportunity to celebrate His grace to us in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. I'd like to read to you this morning from Luke chapter 2. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him, of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, these past few hours, our homes have been filled with the sounds of gift giving and receiving. Last night, if you do it wrong, but it really doesn't matter how old you are, the joy and the excitement of sitting down with loved ones around a beautifully decorated, brightly lit tree to give and receive material tokens of love never fades. We all become childlike in our enthusiasm for Christmas gifts. We noticed an interesting phenomenon this morning when we asked our sons to stand before the Christmas tree to take a picture. It was harder to get the smiles before they opened the gifts than it was after they opened the gifts. But as always is the case, the enthusiasm for the gifts, no matter what they are, eventually fades. It's just a matter of time before the gifts that you oohed and awed over this morning, or last night if you do it wrong, becomes a goodwill donation. The newness eventually gives way to familiarity. The excitement eventually gets swallowed up in the mundane. So the challenge of Christmas gift giving is to find a gift whose benefits will outlast its novelty and whose importance will transcend that initial excitement. The Christian tradition of gift giving comes to us from ancient times as a remembrance of the visit of the wise men and the gifts they gave to the Christ child of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the true gift of Christmas is not found in what man gave to Christ, but in what Christ gave to man. And the gift he gives is at the very heart of Christmas. It was the prophet Isaiah who was given the privilege of unveiling the fullness of this truth. The world was going to hear as God would bring forth words of comfort to a frightened Jewish king who was facing a great foe. As a guarantee of the truth of God's promise of protection, a sign was given. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. A day would come when God would show his compassion and concern for mankind by coming to them, by being with them. And on that winter's evening, in the small town of Bethlehem, it quietly came to pass. John tells us what was happening theologically, behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, the eternal Word, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, who was not only with God, but was God from eternity, was leaving heaven and coming to earth. John put it this way, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so it happened, with perhaps no other witnesses but Mary, Joseph, and a few other ordinary livestock. God was with us. Emmanuel had come. So if the challenge of Christmas gift giving is to provide a gift whose benefits will outlast its novelty and whose importance will transcend that initial excitement, then God succeeds marvelously. It wasn't God's purpose to come into the world to live with humanity for just a lifetime. It was God's intent that we might live with him for all eternity. For that to happen, the stain of our sin had to be removed. This was something that only he could do. The only way he could satisfy his holy justice, which was demanded by his character, was to willingly offer himself in our place on a cross. Peter says it beautifully when he writes in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died for sin once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Christ has come to us that we might come to God. By trusting in his substitutionary atonement for our sin and committing our lives completely to him. This is salvation. And it is in this salvation where Emmanuel, God with us, becomes a reality. Paul explains it this way, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and having believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. As a visible reminder of the truth that God is among us and with us, by the miracle of salvation, on the night before Christ sacrificed his life, Jesus instituted the communion meal, also known as the Lord's Supper. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ, and the cup that we drink is a participation in the blood of Christ. In John 6, Jesus said that his flesh was real food and his blood was real drink. And to participate in him, we had to receive his body and we had to receive his blood. Let us give thanks together for God's marvelous gift of salvation on this Christmas morning. Let's pray. Holy Father, because of your great love, it is our great privilege to give thanks to you through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. For you gave your only Son to be born to us of the Virgin Mary, that we might have the power to become your children through him who existed before the world was ever called into being, but came down to save us by being born of a humble virgin, lying in a crib, walking on this earth as a man, him who became poor so that by his poverty we might become rich, who was humbled to the grave that we might be exalted to the heavens, who gave us peace and joy when we were without hope and without God. Therefore, with a whole company of saints in heaven and on earth, we proclaim and celebrate the salvation, the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, made possible. It's in his name we do pray. Amen.